There. Title of our message this morning is In the Land of the Enemy. In the Land of the Enemy. And what you find as you approach this text is the nation of Israel, as they have been removed out of Egypt, they are pressing into the wilderness where they will wander for 40 years. And then as you look at this text, you understand that God is getting ready to lay out for them all the laws of the people. Because they're going to be traveling through this wilderness, then they're going to go into the promised land. And in the promised land, there's going to be many enemies, many adversaries, many cultures and peoples with all different gods, all different practices, all different beliefs. And so what Leviticus is, it is God laying out for them, these are the standards in which I need you to practice your faith as you march into this new land facing this enemy. Not taking their culture and making it yours, but you taking your culture and living it. That's what God is setting out to do in this text. I'm going to read to you first of all, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. You don't need to turn there. But it's the framework around the picture of what we're going to look at in Leviticus. And 1 Peter 1:15 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or lifestyle." So whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, the Lord desires that in whatever land, time, or place we live, that we live as unto the Lord. So I want you to listen with me as you do, as we go through Leviticus chapter 11, 12, 13, 14. Listen to what he says in the beginning of each one of these chapters. Leviticus 11. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat among the beasts that are on the earth." And then he's going to give them all the dietary laws, the things they can and cannot eat. You come to chapter 12, he says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation for infirmity shall she be unclean." And he's going to give them health laws, things to practice to maintain good hygiene and health in their culture and their society. Verse 13, chapter 13. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron, the priests, or unto one of his sons, the priests." And he's going to teach them about how to deal with these terminal diseases, these contagions, even as what they were facing at that time. As we jump over to chapter 14, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priests." So he's going to talk about, well, what happens after a person is healed and made clean and ready to be introduced back into the culture and society when they've had a contagious disease. As we go over to chapter 15, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When any man hath a running issue of his flesh because of his issue, he is unclean." As he continues to talk about hygiene, a major part of life, isn't it? It's interesting that it took generations, centuries, for medicine to catch up with what the Bible had taught centuries before. As we go to chapter 16 of Leviticus, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat." And he's going to give him the laws concerning worship and coming before God with a right heart. As we look down here to chapter 17, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, What man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle. And he's going to talk to them about bringing offerings and coming and worshiping before God. Then we come down to chapter 18. It says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. And so when we come to chapter 18, what you find is the Lord shifted a little bit. And instead of telling them what they should do, he's going to tell them, I need to talk to you about the things that you need to not do. You need to not allow the culture and the society you live in to dictate how you live. Instead, like 1 Peter said, be holy because he is holy in all our manner of life. So when you look at these texts through Leviticus, you find him talking to the nation of Israel about how to live in the enemy's land. How is it you're supposed to live when you're a soldier of the cross, serving Christ, living in your community, your neighborhood, among people all around you who maybe don't know God, don't love God? Do you adopt their culture, their society, or do you bring yours and live yours? Certainly the veterans that we have today here, as some of them went around the world and served our nation, representing the United States, they went to those countries, those cultures, and they brought America with them when they went there. They didn't go and become part of those countries. They brought our country there, and they lived as Americans. As you look at this, we find that God wants us to understand how to live in the land of our enemy. So going back to chapter 18, and that's where we're going to focus. Chapter 18, verse 1 says, And the Lord spake unto Moses. And what we find here is an inspiration of word. God speaking. He is speaking to Moses. And in other texts, it said that he was speaking to Moses and Aaron. And he was telling them, I need you to go and tell the people what I have to say. And still today, you and I want to hear what God has to say to us. If you look in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, here you find a text that reminds us who it is and what it is that we're hearing when we open our Bibles. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, it says to us, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So when we listen to this text, when we read in Leviticus chapter 11 through 18, where each chapter is opened by him saying, it's God speaking to Moses or Aaron, telling them, go forth and tell the nation of Israel. We know that these are not the words of people who desired to conjure up these words, but these were men of old, inspired by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the very words of God. You see, that's the inspiration of the word. You and I still today, when we open these pages, whether it be Genesis or all the way to the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation, it doesn't matter where it is that we open and where we look, we are looking at the word of God as God is giving it to us for our generation. Look back with me in Leviticus chapter 18. Look at verses 2 and 3. It says, Speak unto the children of Israel. And say unto them, I am the Lord your God. So as we look at that verse, we understand that he's clarifying. God's saying to Moses, I need you to tell the children of Israel that I am the Lord your God. And he's going to issue to them a warning. Verse 3 says, After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, which I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. You see, it's the living God who's speaking to a specific people, and he's saying to them, I need you, when you live in the land of the enemy, to listen to me, not them. Sometimes if we're not careful, the culture and the world we live in dictates how we live. We listen more to TV and to the radio and to iPads and podcasts and newspapers, magazines, or whatever it may be. It dictates how we live. Instead of taking our Bible and saying, Lord, what do you have for us? And that's what he's saying to them. He's saying, Moses, I need you to help them to understand that I'm issuing to them a dictate, an order, a guide. I'm giving them ordinances that they might take and live their faith no matter where it is that I plant them. He says, you've come out of Egypt and you're getting ready to go into Canaan land. But all of those places have so many dangerous, destructive things in the cultures and society of those people. And he says, you need to not do them. I was reading in I have a Bible that's called an archaeological Bible. And what it does is it takes verses like this and it goes back and looks at the archaeological excavations of those areas in those times. So this particular text, as I was reading about it, was talking about the laws of the land that these people were traveling through. It was talking about some of the ancient cuneiforms that they found back in the early 1900s throughout those regions. And one of the laws of the ancient peoples before Israel, one of the laws of the ancient people that God is warning them do not practice, they found a cuneiform that talked about rape. And it said, when a man rapes a woman, then if he's found guilty, his wife needs to be let out to be raped, and then he needs to take the woman he raped into his household. Now, we look at a law like that and we say to ourselves, are you joking me? Unbelievable. But that was the ancient people that God is saying to Israel, do not live their ordinances. Do not live their laws. They're not productive. They're not healthy. They're not right. They're not good. So you and I, when we look at these texts, we understand that God is the true and living God is looking into the hearts of people who have rejected him. And he's telling his people, embrace my truths. Embrace my ordinances, my laws. Don't let the culture and society of the enemy dictate how you live. He issues them in a warning. I want you to look with me down at verses 4 and 5 of our text in Leviticus chapter 18. Listen to verses 4 and 5. He says, ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and I am the Lord. So when we look at these verses, God says, you need to hear me. You need to hear the inspiration of my words as thus saith the Lord. You need to go ahead and understand I'm issuing you a warning. And then as we come down to verses 4 and 5, he says you need to initiate your walk. You need to do it. You see, it's easy to be a hearer, isn't it? Not always easy to be a doer. The book of James talks about that. He tells us to be more than hearers. Be doers of the word. And that's exactly what God is doing right here. He's saying to every one of us and every one of them and everybody between them and us, he's saying, if you're a child of God and you love the Lord, even in the land of the enemy, you need to initiate the walk of a believer. Initiate the walk of a Christian. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 in your New Testament. First Peter chapter 1, verse 16. It says, because it is written, and now you read it with me, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let's say it one more time, that last phrase. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So God says in the New Testament, the same thing he said in the Old Testament, and all the way in between, he's saying, I need you in the land of the enemy to live a holy and righteous life, to do right. You and I have no excuse. We should not live like the barbarian any more than our vets should go to the land of the enemy and live like a barbarian. They should live like an honorable U.S. soldier, whether in the Navy, or the Army, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard, whatever it may be, whatever branch of service, we have an expectation of them to live an honorable life, don't we? We don't want them to do the horrific things that the enemy may do. We want them instead to be honorable soldiers of our nation. And God expects the same of you and I as soldiers of the cross. You and I, he expects us to initiate a walk that in every way glorifies him. Go back with me, if you would, to Leviticus. And I want you to look at chapter 11. Remember I started there? But I want you to look at the latter part of the chapter, chapter 11. I read to you the very first verse, but I want you to look with me at verses 44 and 45 of Leviticus chapter 11. It says, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. God is calling you and I to be a holy people in the midst of our enemy, in the midst of all that may work against our faith. We're supposed to stand strong and be true before the Lord. We find that the scriptures teach us that God delights in us being obedient to his laws. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6, if you would. Luke chapter 6, verses 47 and 48. It says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built his house and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. He says, when you and I take the biblical principles, when we take the laws and ordinances of God and we live them and practice our faith, it's like building our house upon the rock. This church is built on the rock, not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but when we built the buildings here, we had to have guys who did demolition work, dynamite work. They came in. Both this building and the lower building is dynamited right into ledge. In fact, the lower building, the cement is poured on the ledge. This one here has stone between the ledge and the floor, and we have in-floor heat up here. But this building is built on the solid rock. This last week, I had one of our missionaries in the Philippines text me a picture asking for us to pray for them in the Philippines because they keep having a series of earthquakes. And many of their buildings are built upon sand. In fact, if it's a lowland, they'll haul in sand, pack the sand, and then build their building on it. But when the earthquakes come, it shifts and moves and cracks and crumbles their buildings. And so the missionary sent me pictures of his community with buildings cracked in half and windows broken and people's homes collapsed. And he's just saying, pray for our folks, pray for our community as we are going through these series of earthquakes. God says that in our lives, when the world shakes our life up, if we've built our life upon the solid rock of the teachings of Christ, on the principles and ordinances of God, he says, then we have solid rock to stand on. But when we build our lives upon the shifting sand of the land of our enemy, then we get shook and torn apart, and we have no foundation and strength in our lives. God wants us to understand that we should initiate our walk in being obedient to his word, no matter where we live, no matter what the circumstances, that we might honor him. And then he goes down. I want you to go back with me to Leviticus chapter 18, because I want you to see that he brings an invalidation. He invalidates the inhabitants of the land where they're going to go, their enemy. He wants the people of Israel to understand that there's a destructiveness, an unhealthiness to the culture and the society that they are getting ready to move into. Look with me, if you would, at verses 24 through 30 of Leviticus chapter 18. He tells them, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomited out the inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, that the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. God says, listen, you as my chosen people, as he spoke to Israel, he said, you're going to go into this land and I'm going to drive out the inhabitants for you. And that land is going to spew them out. But he says, I want you to come into this land and live your faith, practice your faith, so that you will not be driven out and you will not be spewed out from the land. All the way from Leviticus 11, all the way through 18, and woven throughout Leviticus are the principles that he wanted them to live. You and I, when we come to the four Gospels in the New Testament, we sit at the feet of Jesus and we learn what he has for us and how he gave himself on the cross for us. Then you go into Romans and you go on through the writings of the apostles and you learn about the ordinances and the practices of the early church and how we should practice and live our faith. And there may be people around you who mock you and ridicule you because you came to church this morning. Because you worship and believe and practice. And God warns us. He says, understand and know that they who reject him shall be spewed out. But those who embrace and accept him are welcomed in and are upon the solid rock. This morning, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you stand upon the solid rock. And even in the midst of the inhabitants of the land, we practice and live our faith. If you've never received Christ, today, don't leave this place without turning in faith to him, that you yourselves might be on solid rock, living the teachings and ordinances of our Lord. For he desires to give you eternal life, that in him you might find not just life, but an abundant life, an eternal life. Whether it be Old Testament or New, whether it be the nation of Israel or you and I here in Addison County, God desires to walk with us. And he desires to see us take his principles and his teachings and practice them. more than hearers, doers of the word. Let's bow our heads as we come to the end of our service this morning. And as your head is bowed and as you look in your heart, I ask you, where are you in relation to God? Leviticus contrasts between those who know God and those who reject God. And I ask you this morning, where are you? Do you know the Lord? Have you accepted Him into your heart and into your life? Are you practicing your faith? And if you're here today and you've never received Christ, then when this invitation time comes, just slip out, come up, let us open the Bible. Even at this altar, we can open the Bible and pray with you, and today you can receive Christ into your heart and into your life. Father in heaven, as we come to this invitation time, I pray, Lord, that you would help each of us to be stirred by the need to genuinely practice the teachings, the principles, the ordinances of what you have for us as a people. Lord, I pray you'd stir our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.